How are you today? Good? Good. If you're not good, that's okay too. Well, thank you again, Pastor Matt, for this privilege. It's really good to be home. If I'm waiting for translation, I'm sorry. I just realized I was waiting for German translation. But it's good to be back in the States. It's good to be back in Chesapeake. And I've been back here for a few weeks now. I live in Europe. Our family started coming here to Harvest back in 1997. And we've been here, they've been here ever since. I've been out for a while, but I've been a part of this family for quite some time, and I've been involved with an organization called Youth with a Mission. It's an international, interdenominational, cross-cultural missions organization that's full of thousands of young people, and we go all over the world, or at least until recently. We were going all over the world preaching the gospel, and our motto is Know God and Make God Known. And that's what we're about. We love discipleship. We love going to nations. We love cultures. We love people. We love being excited. We love preaching. We love getting dirty. We love all of that. And I've had the privilege of jumping into that mission since 2005. You guys who was here at that time sent me out at the time. And I've been going for it ever since. And it's been a real privilege and honor. But I just want to thank you guys, Harvest Assembly, just for your prayers and your support and your financial support, all of the above, for the last 16 years. We have been moving forward and God has been moving in the nations. And it is, we could talk forever on stories and you guys have stories too, but the reality is God is moving. And no matter how the world looks, God is moving and God is faithful. And so this has been quite a year, but before we go into the message, the topic this morning is leaning into hope together. And the thread theme of better together and being together as a body. And we're going to talk about this and we're going to look through some scriptures. But before I do, I just want to give you a little bit of a quick two-minute picture of just who I am so I'm not some random person with a beard up here talking with you. Go ahead with the next slide. I joined Youth of the Mission in 2005 and I was in Hawaii for several years. But now I live in Europe. Who's ever been to Europe? Any place in Europe? Right on. And I moved there in 2012 with the Ministry of Youth of the Mission to start running discipleship training schools. And my vision, something that I am passionate about, that I love, I could talk to you about all day long, is revival and discipleship in Europe. I love young people. I love hanging out. To see what God is doing in this continent is incredible. My field that I focus on is everywhere from Portugal to Russia. At this point, so I do trainings, teachings, you name it, and in cross-cultural translation context, I love it. If I do it for the rest of my life, let's go. It's so good to see what God is doing. So I'm based in Europe. I've been living there for 9 years. The next one, that is exactly where I live. That is the spot where I live. It's a little town called Herrnhut in Germany. Who's ever heard of it? If you're familiar with any church history, it's the home of the Moravians, where the Moravian refugees were in the movement that started 100 years of day and night prayer and worship. And it's a pretty cool little place. It's a little German village with a baker and a butcher and all of that, but it's a pretty rich and deep place. And I've been based there since 2012, and we have been, we've been wanting to see revival in Germany. We've been sending groups all around that area, and it's been a really powerful last few years. Go to the next one. That's the mission. That's the campus. So this is called a Wasserschloss, water castle. And we have had this property since 2004, since before I was there. But that's a whole other story in itself. But that's maybe 100 of our young people in our network there. But every year we have hundreds of people, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, sometimes 16-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 70-year-olds, come through and they go through a six-month training school, encounter Jesus, grow deep in discipleship, and then they go to the nations. And they come for training, and then they go to India, or they go to South America, or they go to Cape Town, or they go to China, or wherever it is. And so that's what we're about. That's what I love. And that's what I've been a part of. So that's a big part of my community. A few of you have been there before and met some of them. But we're just a bunch of people who love Jesus. We're all different cultures all around the world, and I'm probably the most American one out of them all. They're always like, you're the American. I'm like, I know. very, they're like, you're so animated. I'm like, thank you. But, and so anyways, that's a little bit about me. I continue to live in Europe. I will continue to be there over the next few years, teaching, discipling, training, really wanting to see young people, see who they are in God, grow deep with God, and be sent as missionaries. Whether it's in a sphere of society or in a nation that God has told them to go to, Kurdistan, Iraq, then go. I love that. So that's a little bit about me. This year has been a challenging one for all of us. Everyone's like, yeah. I've been in the States now for the last 3 weeks, and Pastor Matt asked me to share, and I was the theme of Better Together and coming together, and I was like, I haven't been together with anyone in quite a long time. I mean, Germany is entering its third lockdown right now. From my recent year, I have been in lockdown majority of this year, being able to see one other household, unfortunately unable to gather in public settings, not able to worship in group times. It's a very different atmosphere than the States. It had the different governments in Europe have their rules and different stuff for a reason, but we have not been able to gather, and it changed a lot of our plans. For me, I had just come from Cape Town, South Africa in March of 2020, flew into Germany. Our training school was graduating. Everyone was like, yes, wow, amen, hallelujah, get out. Go home, get out before the lockdown starts, catch the plane, get the next flight. And in March started, I think is very much here as well, March started a very different journey than what we had hoped 2020 would be. And it was a hard year, actually. It was a year that was hard to hope in some respects. Our community had people who became sick. People in our community lost loved ones. And we're an international community, so we're constantly hearing about what's happening in Brazil, what's happening in India, what's happening in Africa, what's happening in Australia right now, constantly. And it changed all of our plans. We went from go, 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 where are we going, to please download Zoom. And please make sure that your screen looks like this and that. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, and we had to learn really quickly to adapt to a new way of doing things. But the first part of this year was a real challenge. One, because we can all relate, what the heck was happening? Why was it happening the way it was? Who's saying what? The list went on. And we went into quite a tough time, and it still actually is in its lockdown, where it was like, actually, you can't gather. It's unsafe. It's unhealthy. You risk your grandmother's life. Like, the constant things going on. And I got to a point, I've been in leadership for the last 5 years, where this year was one of the toughest challenges I've had to face as a leader in an organization than what I can remember. Because the questions we were getting were questions we had never answered before. No one had experience to lead through a pandemic. I couldn't say, what book can tell me about this? Or who can I talk to? It was, nope, you need to figure it out. And that was quite a process of still figuring it out. And having young people who were like, did God really say, and all my plans were canceled, or my mother is sick, or I'm sick. We ran a training school, the entire school got COVID. But they were like, but we went through all the, to save the story short, we went through all the processes and administration. They still went on outreach to Brazil later on. You know, we continued. We were like, Lord, how do we're going to obey the law. We're going to do what's expected. We're not going to be crazy like that. But we want to do whatever we can to continue to be who you've called us to be. Whether that's on Zoom, whether that's on, you know, however we can do, whatever we can do, we want to be obedient to what you say and follow you wherever you lead. So we sent 20 young people to Brazil back in the fall. It was crazy. And there was lots of stuff happening, but God moved and transformed their lives and moved in the lives of people in Brazil. Was it risky? Oh, yeah. And did I feel it as a leader? Yes. We currently have teams right now in the Middle East, in Istanbul, and different other locations that I won't mention, but we have young people who are like, I'm hearing God, and I want to obey, and I'm going to go, and if it's open, can I go? I can go. I'm going. But this year has, I think, cost a lot of us something. This year, I was like, God, did I really hear you? All the words for 2020. Whoops. Lord, how do I respond? How do I react when governments make decisions? How do I respond when people are going, and I myself am going through grief, confusion, misunderstanding, pain, hopes and victories and sadness and restlessness? How do I feel when I'm on Zoom preaching in the Philippines? And how do I feel when I don't want to get off the couch and stop watching Disney Plus? I could just watch The Mandalorian again and again and again, you know? Like, how do you feel, you know? Like, how, that was like, for me, I don't know if anyone can relate, but it's like been a swing of a roller coaster of one moment, hallelujah to the nations, the next moment, please don't talk to me. Space, not just distance, but space, you know? It's been one of those years, and it's been a year where I've looked back even just in worship, I was like, yeah, it was hard to hope at times. And times I didn't even want to hope. I was like, cool, there are some major issues rising up, and they're major issues. And there are so many opinions, and there's so many stories, and there's so many things happening around me. Sometimes I don't, I'm just being, I'm what you see is what you get. I didn't know half of what to think sometimes. You know, I'm like, I don't want to open anything. Don't show me TikTok, don't show me Facebook, don't show me what's on Snapchat, don't do any of that, just like, let me be. And I had moments where I was like, God, what are we doing? What do I hope for? When everything seems to be shaking, and the world is shaking, what stories am I listening to? What is feeding into my brain? And a lot of the stories, you know, I do a lot of pastoral care and conversations with young people all the time, and some of the questions are changing compared to 5 years ago. The mindsets are changing, the perspectives are changing, and I love it, but it's requiring a different posture and perspective now. Questions that I don't have the answers to, that I'm like, God, what do you say? What are you doing? What are you speaking? And I've had conversations. One day I was on Zoom for like 9 hours. By the end of it, I was like, you know, I've spent hundreds of hours online this year. It's been like, I can't, I'm like, my eyes are, you know, twitching from it. Just even thinking about it, I'm like, but I know one day I had finished several Zoom calls. And I had my work computer and I closed it out. And I was like, I just like rolled my chair over and I looked at the wall and I was like, like, literally, like, I'm like, I have nothing to think. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to feel. I feel numb. Everyone feels really intense, and I just want to, like, go watch TV, you know? But, and I found in moments for me, I was like, man, what story? Like, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a story. There are so many things fighting right now for my attention. He said, she said, this news, that news. Real stories from real friends that are sometimes hopeful and sometimes very painful. My own journey of loss and different things I've experienced this year. I'm like, God, what now? How do I continue, as in my story of being a missionary, how do I go to the nations when I can't go? I live on the border of three nations, as you saw. I couldn't go across to the Czech Republic to get gas. You know, I had to stay where I was for almost a year. And that's the longest I've stayed in any one spot for 10 years. And I, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, Ian, get over it. But that was hard. Because I was like, my whole identity was I had to learn, my identity was not wrapped up in what I did or what I was doing, but the invitation of God saying, who, will you grow deeper with me? Will you do what you can? Will you not isolate yourself any more than what you're being told to? Will you still engage? Will you still connect in? Will you still be a part of what I'm doing? Will I still walk in love? Will I still choose to grow? Or will I allow the numbness and the voices to polarize and to make my heart hard and my heart walled, even if I'm not necessarily saying, I will make my heart walled. It just kind of is happening. And we've been filled with stories this year of people who have died. Some of us have lost people. There's stories I'm hearing from YWAMers in certain countries right now where they're like, please be praying. We are out of this. So-and-so is this. And it's constantly feeding. Constantly, we're constantly continuing to pray, constantly hearing. And then the stories of different nations are changing. What's happening in America is so different than what's happening in Germany. And what's happening across the world, all the stories seem to be different, but there's common things going on. And man, I was at this year, I was like, God, how do I hope? What do I come back to that reminds me, that keeps me on track, that allows me to be engaged with God and other people around me when I'm like, hello? You know, I've seen myself on Zoom so many times where I'm like, it's like I have a relationship with myself. I'm like, how are you? You know, how are you? You know, and I'm like, I'm fine, thank you, you know. Plethora of other issues coming up, but there's been so much tears, there's been misunderstandings, there's been, God, what are you saying, what are you actually doing? There's been Christians across the spectrum who will think one thing, and then you talk to the next group of Christians and they think a totally different thing. There's been people who are divided, who use their words that bring a lot of pain. There's offense, there's unforgiveness, there's grief, there's There's so many things that are out there right now, and there's so many stories that fight for our attention. And for me, going through this year, I recognize I felt like a tornado of stories around me. You know, like, I, you know? And before you know it, you go home, and you're like, no wonder you're so exhausted, you know? And I had some moments, man. I was like, God, I know that you're hope, but I don't want to just say, God is hope. I don't want to just someone to tell me, you know what, God's got it and God's going to figure it out. I needed to be reminded that actually there's something much bigger than myself. In a world that is constantly changing and opinions that are constantly being thrown out, stories that are being fed to us. And I'm going to talk about narrative in a moment. There are so many narratives and stories around us that fight for our attention, that seek that we would be a part of it, that want us to listen and feed into it. Some of them are great and some of them are not great. I was telling this to the last service. I was in America for a week, a couple weeks ago. I hadn't been here a week. And one of my first culture shocks was watching a news channel. And I was watching a speech, and within 10 seconds, I didn't even have a chance to formulate my own thought about it. Five people were telling me what I should be thinking and how I should feel about it. And I just kind of sat there and I was like, who are you? Why are you? I thought, why can't I think for myself? But there are so many different things right now in our society that fight for your affection, that fight for your attention, that fight for your heart. And how do we move forward as the body of Christ with hope in who God has called us to be and not lose heart? How do we continue when circumstances look different? For me, this has been very refreshing to be here because we haven't been able to gather in a worship service in a year. You know, to be able to gather, to come together. In my mind, I was like, what can we do? What's possible? What can we do? And now I'm sitting here, I'm like, I have such an appreciation for this more than I have ever. I hope it stays. I hope it stays that way. You know, but what can we do? And so if you just go to the next slide, here is something that has helped me enormously in my journey over this last year that I've been growing in. If you like timelines, you like this. And it's very simple. And there, when with all the stories and all of the things that are happening and very real, very much is what I could say, what is the bigger picture story that we are a part of? What is the overarching meta-narrative that everything else must line up in truth? What is the one story that everything else must come into place with? And that, my friends, is the story of God. The story of that actually is written in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Not random, you know, the Bible tells us who God is. It shouts out the character and nature of God. It invites us, it welcomes us into relationship and shows us the story of redemption. But something that's been so significant for me when I'm going through my hopeless moments, I'm going through my grief, I don't want to get off the couch, or maybe I've had a little too much schnitzel, you know. You know, happy lockdown. You know, how do I lean in? If I don't feel like I can jump into the things of God, if I don't feel like I can collapse into the things of God or feel like I did before, how can I even choose to lean in a little bit? In the face of what we've gone through and we're suffering, how do we lean in together? How do we have hope together? And this, my friends, as simple as it may be, some of you are like, oh, cool, Sunday school. No, it's so much more than that. And we need it now more than ever. Is with the voices, the millions of voices, with the voices of Facebook, TikTok, news, everything you got out there, you know, all these things that can be used for great things, fighting for your attention. What story will you immerse yourself in? What story are you participating in and engaging with and repeating to yourself on a daily basis? I'm looking at this. There was a time this year where I was not repeating this story in any way. In my heart, I was thinking, drama.com. The news coming out of my country sounds really intense. The news coming out of India sounds really intense. And then you got people, conspiracies here and conspiracies there. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna watch TV. You know? But I literally sat there and I was like, but what is all of this for? Why? Why grow better together? Why grow deeper with God? Why spend time coming together? Why anything at all? Why? Tell me why. Don't just say, oh, yeah. No, tell me really why. And the why comes with actually knowing the story of God. Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is not some random magazine. The Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is the timeline story of God that goes, hey, in the beginning, there was a garden, and it was beautiful, and there was community and life and hope and life and trust, and oh my goodness, there was these beautiful, glorious things. And then we see the whole story of the Bible, right? We have Israel and all of the crazy stories, the wildness, the journey, the story of redemption. The Bible, the entire Bible is a story of redemption, of a God who in the beginning, Trinitarian God, three in one, there is God, and God is good, and God is hopeful, and God is full of life, and God is love, and God cares more about justice and freedom than we ever could. And then we go through and we see, okay, there's creation. Okay, and then there was the fall. What was the fall? Why brokenness? If we don't understand that, we're not going to understand the depths of who Jesus is. We see the fall. We see the children of Abraham, and we see what happened and how God was desiring to dwell with humanity again. We see Jesus, who is the true image bearer, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We see the Spirit and the church, the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, and we know one day, the story of God in Revelation 21 and 22, he's coming back again, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to make all things new. And that's very simple. That's Sunday school material, I know, for us. But sometimes that's what we need to hear the most. The story of God. Because the story of God, we could spend the next entire week going through each, we could spend the next couple years going through every, the rest of our lives going through every single thing. You know what I mean? But actually looking and saying, okay, like God, the story of God, it means something. It is significant. And over all things in this life, all of the noise, all of the chatter, all of the swiping, all of the stories, everything that we have, above all else and above all that we go through, God is God and he is with us. The story of God, in the beginning, God dwelled, and in the end, he dwells, and he is dwelling with us. And every story in this world right now, where does it fit in the story of God? Where is our nation in the story of God? Where is India in the story of God? Where are you in the story of God? Where is Harvest Assembly in the story of God? It's not just chilling. Cool. No, like, why are you getting a new building? Because you're going to impact and transform nations. Like you're going somewhere. The gospel is an invitation of participation. The story of God is a welcome. Hey, come on, let's grow and let's go. And there's so much. And so this is something that has given me hope in thinking about it, is somehow with everything that's going on, regardless of how I feel today or tomorrow or what I was going through 2 months ago, I'm right there. You're right there. Keep it simple. Don't try to dissect it any more than that. Keep it simple first. You are right there in the story of God. And this is coming. This is the layout of Scripture. Yeah? Where are you in the story of God? And how do we live as participants in the story of God, not just spectators hoping that some things figure out? We're invited to be a part of a story. And why do I talk about meta-narrative? Because again, it's like I said, there's so much right now fighting for our attention and our affection. I could go online and in 10 minutes see 30 different things. Cool. But what are you feeding yourself every day? What are you immersing yourself in? Are you immersing yourself in hope of the story of God? Or are you immersing yourself in theories and opinions that are not actually founded? What are you filling your heart with? What goes into your mind? Is it the story that we live and breathe? The reality of who God is? Narratives shape our reality. It shows us who we are, and it shows us what we live out. We can tell this because our generation loves stories. Okay? You can look at entertainment. You can look at the Avengers. Yeah? Yeah? We love stories. We love time. We love to be engaged in story. We love to feel like we're a part of the story. We say, oh, yeah, I'm like Captain America. Or, hey, or if you like Star Wars, I'm like Luke Skywalker. You know, we find ourselves lost in story because we love stories. And we see ourselves, we find a place in that. We find a way to relate to that. We engage with that. There, and that's a cultural example. Facebook story, Insta story, all of the stories. Everyone wants to talk about story. Stories feed you. They fill you. They connect you with what you're a part of. What stories do we feed ourselves? Do we recognize that we actually are part of the ultimate, huge story of God before anything else? No matter how our lives play out, we are part of the big overarching story of God. And there are narratives, smaller narratives all around us. Let me give you another example. The American dream is a narrative. Radical Islamic militarism is a narrative. Progressive socialism is a narrative. Capitalist prosperity is a narrative. There are many narratives at play all around us that we live in, whether we realize it or we don't. But the overarching one, and one that I have been finding my hope in more, yeah, is remembering that I'm not just somehow caught up in these tornadoes of like stories. Do you ever feel like that? Woo! You know, and I'm like, and it confuses us actually. It can be very confusing. It can feel overwhelming. It can feel like a lot. But at the end of the day, whose story are you actually a part of? And do you own your place in that story? Or do you own your place on your Facebook story? Or do you own your place? You know, I'm not saying knocking that, but what I'm saying is, what are you feeding yourself? What are you listening to? And how are you choosing to immerse and engage yourself in the story that you have been a part of? And every narrative that we see, where does it fit? Where is my family in God's story? Where is your spouse? Where are your children in God's story? Where is the circumstance and situation in God's story? And who is God in the midst of it? Amen. And so I want to just give us that tool before we dive into scripture this morning is there's so much more than just ourselves in this. We are special. We are loved. We are valued. We are important. And we are part of the bigger picture. And sometimes I've had circumstances this year where it was very difficult to see the bigger picture. I didn't actually, if someone told me to think about it, I would say, no, stop, you know. But man, sometimes what is helpful is actually being like, okay, let me take a step back for a second. God, I'm a part of your story. And I don't have to know how everything plays out. And I don't have to trust this or that, but I can trust you. And I can know you. We're invited to know God, to dwell with God in relationship with God. And I think it's important for us to be mindful. What story are we leaning into? You can go to the next one. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. Say alive.
Alive.
Together. Say together.
Together.
With Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. So can you go back to the slide just for one moment, please? I love this, and this is something so simple but so deep and powerful for us to remember when we think about God's story. Jesus, God incarnate, became flesh, wrapped himself in skin, and dwelt among us. Through his death and resurrection, we truly live, but not just like me and you randomly. Hi, I live. we live. We live together. It doesn't say, just so you know personally, it's only you that's going to live and not them. Made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's cool, isn't it? We're like, cool, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say he seated you up there so you can stay on the couch and watch Netflix. You're seated there so you can complain all day and wish you were dead half the time and, you know, and gripe about how everything else. No, we're given an invitation. And I'm saying that humbly because I have done the three things I just said. Okay? I have sat on the couch and rah, rah, you know, with it. But we are invited to recognize that in the story of God, in the truth of who God is, in the reality of who God is, we are invited to be participants. in the coming ages that he might show the immeasurable riches. I love that. Immeasurable. You can't count it. The riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We are invited to participate, to engage together, because God is kind. And God is loving. And God is merciful. And God is just. And God sees us, and he knows us, and he lavishes his grace on us every day for the rest of our lives. We are invited to remember that. Not every day I'm necessarily going to feel that. I did not feel that for like 3 months. Yeah. I feel lazy, you know, like you name it. But man, but how do I engage with this world? How do I engage with life around me, with people around me? How do I come together with the body of Christ and not build up so many walls to protect myself of their opinion that's a little different than mine? How do we come together? How do we live and lean into life? How are we alive? And that's not an expression. You can't just be like, well, Ian said life, so woo! That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Life in here. Hope in here. It's not limited to one person's expression of it. It's you together here, living alive as the body of Christ, invited to engage with God in the story of God for all people. Yeah, and this is something that has given me hope this year when I can't go anywhere. When so many times I'm so used to be like, yeah, go in here, go in there, go in there. Can't wait to see what God's doing there. Man, God's done a deep work here.
Come on.
And on Zoom. I mean, I never in my life thought I would be teaching in so many places in the world on Zoom. But it is a gift, actually, that in the season that it could be possible. And when we were kind of going through our tough beginning in the early part of the year, I wish I could say I had such a great attitude. Yeah, I wish I could be like, amen, hallelujah, hope and freedom, here we go. No, I was like, what the heck is going on? Had no idea what to say. I felt bitterness. I felt some offense. I was like, gosh, what the heck is going on? And what do I tell everybody leading a community? How do I move forward in vision and faith? And one of our leaders was praying with us one time, and he was like, thank you, Lord, for Corona season. And I was like, excuse me? Like, literally, you could have seen like the eyes on Zoom be like, did he really just say that? But and he was like, it's written in scripture that no matter the circumstances, give thanks. And immediately I was confronted with not whether, blah, 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 but am I thankful? What is the posture of my heart? Is my heart walling up, or is my heart getting tender and soft? Yeah, and so when he said that, I was kind of like, man, God, you are inviting us to be engaged and to be present in the world that we are in, not to run away and hide from it. You're inviting us to learn, to explore our creativity, to come together, to see things birthed and started that maybe never would have happened if it wasn't for this time. And this time is hard. I wish it never happened. Germany's entering its third lockdown. My friends still can't see anybody outside of one other household. I'm like, how are you? Tell me how you're doing. They're like, we're okay. I'm like, okay, let's keep praying, you know, doing it. There is so much happening in this world, and people need to hear hope. They need to hear Jesus. They need to hear life. And they need to be listened to. And they need to be loved. And to be engaged with. Not pushed away or walled. And we are invited to say, Lord, if there is any walls in me, would you let them down? Where not just somebody said put on a mask, but I have masked my own heart. How do we go into the season participating and continuing to do whatever we can do? One of my leaders was also like, hey, Ian, like, there used to be so many open doors, but there's closed doors. What do you do when there's a closed door? You find a window. If the windows are closed, is there a crack? Is there anything? Is there any possibility for me to step out and do what God has put in my heart to do? Is there anything? Would there be anything? And that was such a challenge to me because I was like, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. Maybe in 10 years. No, there's such a greater invitation to be in the story that you are a part of. Let's go to the next one. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us, I love how it's saying let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And 23, this is something I felt over our church this morning. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. What might it mean for us to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess? What does that look like in the day-to-day? What does that look like on an ordinary day where God is with you? What does it look like in the situation you're facing? What does it look like in the grief that you're going through? What does it look like in the pain that you felt? What does it look like when your plans were canceled or life has not looked like how you hoped? Or maybe it's great. You're like, hallelujah. What does it look like for you to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess? I love this. He who promised is faithful. Let us consider, I love this too, let us consider, and I love the words, let us consider. Have we ever considered? Yeah, not just assumed. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's an active invitation. Let us consider how we might spur one another on. 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not telling you how, but scripture invites us to say, don't give up. What does it mean for you to unswervingly hold on to hope? When maybe what you thought wasn't what you thought. When maybe things didn't look like how you had thought, or circumstances were not in your favor. How do you, in your day-to-day life, hold on to hope? What does that look like for you? And it might look different for me than you, but we're not meant to do this alone. We were not meant to do this in isolation. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. All throughout the New Testament, there is an emphasis of the body. We need each other to encourage each other. We need to speak life over each other. Spur one another on. Jonathan, thank you for worship this morning. Come on, bro. Like, thank you. Like, how do we speak life in a world that has so much other things to say? How do we hold on and keep the main thing, when so much fights to take our attention onto other things? And there are other important things out there, but what is the main thing? And do you line it up with the truth of who God is? How do we spur one another on? How do we fight for one another? How do we stand together in the body of Christ? When denominations look so different and Christians have different opinions than other Christians, how do we come together? How do we spur one another on? How do we rally around the main thing? How do we hope together? How do we worship together? How do we lean into hope? How do we lean into that radical? How do we lean into life? How do we engage with the story of God, with God together, not alone? And let's fight for each other. Yeah, if you're an introvert, you're like, alone, please. But even still, as introverts, yeah, we still need each other. Yeah, even if you're an introvert, it's okay. You still need people. Yeah, but man, we are invited by scripture all the more as we look to, when we saw the timeline, as we look to the return of Jesus and the New Jerusalem and all things being made new and all of the hope and all of the healing. I'll throw myself up. All of the healing, all of the healing that comes from that. Our hope is in the longing of the kingdom of God. Our hope is that, yes, we will see the nations healed. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Maybe not that dramatically, but, you know, he will wipe the tears from our eyes. He will make all things new. And even though if I don't see it today, I know it's coming because that's the story I'm a part of. And what will I fight for? How will I lean in? How will I even lean in a little bit, even through my doubts? through my deep questions, through my, I don't know what I think about this, will I still lean? Will I still lean in? In the midst of our circumstances, our fears, life's big changes, we are invited to lean into God, to live life with him, not for God, not unto God someday. God seems very distant in some of our language. With God. The God in the beginning we saw in the timeline, Genesis, same God in Revelation, Jesus, God incarnate with us, is still very actively engaged with us now. We are invited to lean in with God. We are invited to draw near, as the scripture just showed us, together. Not isolating ourselves, not putting up walls. Well, she thinks and I disagree, wall. That's not a new thing in the church, just so you know. If you study anything of early church history, you will see there was quite differences as well. But what do you come together? How do you believe and how do you go for it and lean into hope and life and keeping the main thing the main thing? Next slide. In this season of life we're living through, I love asking myself powerful questions. I'm in a master's right now, and so we're constantly getting jarred with questions, and it's irritating, but I love it. How can I put, in these questions I put we and I, it's really easy to say they. We live in a culture where it's they said, they. He said, then she said, then they said, and you know, they really should. They should do this, she should do that, they. What about we and I? How can we hold to the hope we profess? How can, and if you need to write these down or take a photo, do it. You need to go home and like have a good conversation with God, like this might help you. How can we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? How can we continue to come together? In that example, I love it here. We can come together. I haven't been able to do this in a year. I'm like emotional right now, you know. But how can we? What is possible for you? If you have different opinions about something, that's fine. But what invitation might God ask of you to engage with? How might that look for you? How can you continue to be engaged with people? And how can we encourage one another? How can we fight for each other? How can we spur one another on in the hope that we have? The hope that is in Jesus Christ, the overarching story of God that is greater than any other story being told, that's greater than Star Wars, I like Star Wars, that's greater than Marvel, that's greater than any story being told. And where does every other story being told line up in the story of God? Where do you see the character and nature of God? Where do you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? What stories are you feeding yourself? What are you immersing yourself in every single day? Is it hope? Or do you want someone to just come and throw you out into hope? No, you have to make a choice. We all do. I have to make a choice to say either I just go with the flow or I'm actually going to participate and be engaged as a man and a woman of God right now, meeting the challenges of our time, not complaining, wishing things were a certain way as they were before. The world is changing. And we will have a choice to choose to engage with it or to hide from it. The story of God invites us to be participants, to grow, to learn, to love, to not hide, but to say, here I am, God. And maybe we don't know. Maybe you are sad right now. Maybe you have a lot of grief that you've gone through. Maybe you are afraid. Maybe you're going through depression right now. I know a lot of people are going through quite a bit of things right now. Or maybe you're great. I don't know. But where are you? Where do you see yourself in the story of God? Where do you see Harvest Assembly in the story of God? And how will you engage in the story of God together? How can you choose to lean into hope when so much feels or might feel hopeless in your life? It might not be that huge jump of faith, leap of faith. It might not be like that for you right now. But how can you, for the rest of your life, lean in to the God of the universe who loves you, who is with you and promises he will never leave you or forsake you? How do you lean into hope? What is the overflow of your heart? And I want to encourage us, man, maybe this morning you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're like, I need to actually give my life to Jesus. I am part of this story. I'm all in. Or maybe you're like, actually, I haven't been leaning into hope. I've been leaning into Facebook. I've been leaning into TikTok. I've been leaning into something other than actually the story that's greater than every other story I tell myself. Maybe today God wants to just minister to your heart his story, your story. He has welcomed us. We are in the story of God. That is our story. And we can choose to be engaged with it. Amen. Would you stand? I want to read this next verse over you. And then perhaps even invite people up if they just want to be prayed for, ministered to in this. But Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And I know that's not an easy thing for some of us, just to be clear, but it's an invitation. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How can we, whether you're 15 years old or 95 years old, lean in together? And so I want to just, I know there's a ministry team. I know there's things going here, but if God is speaking to you and maybe you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to come to the front, do it. Or if you're like, actually, I haven't been leaning into hope, but you know what? I want to. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're like, I need to breathe again. I need to love. I need to, I don't know what Holy Spirit might be speaking to you through this, but you know you want to step up in some action step, then do it. Do whatever you got to do that's you. Don't compare yourself. You do you. And engage with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So if that's you, feel free to come on down. And I know the ministry team will be able to just pray for you however you feel. Just share with them if you're wanting to give your life to Jesus or if you're wanting prayer, whether it's for healing or it's, hey, pray for me. I have no hope. Or, hey, I need to be honest. And let's engage together with God. So as I'm praying, if you want to come on down, and then